I'm Rachel Paris-Pollack, and I'm going to talk about care for sexually transmitted infections in where I am in Michigan, where we're having some fluctuating public clinic services. And this is my disclosure statement. I have no relationships to disclose. So, by way of introduction, Flint, Michigan, which is where I live for the 2 years of my clinical rotations, is the county seat of Genesee County. It is the seventh largest city in Michigan. It's the fourth largest metropolitan area in the state. And it accounts for a disproportionate burden of gonorrhea and chlamydia. We know that gonorrhea and chlamydia are the most common sexually transmitted infections. Genesee County, which only accounts for 4.3% of the population, accounts for almost 5% of gonorrhea and almost 6% of chlamydia statewide. We also know that chlamydia infection, particularly in young adults, is an indicator of healthcare effectiveness. Screening for chlamydia among young adults is a HEDIS measure, which is this measure used by the National Committee for Quality Assurance to sort of audit healthcare providers and certify them. And we also know that public STI clinics serve high-risk patients, and their closure reduces STI reporting. We at least know this from data. We don't know, you know, we can't know, I think, what it does to true incidence or prevalence, but it reduces reporting. So, Genesee County, which is where Flint is located, prior to October 1st of 2010, ran a free STI clinic, which provided testing, treatment, and partner counseling services for gonorrhea, chlamydia, trich, syphilis, and HIV on a walk-in basis to all adults and teens aged 13 and older, 4.5 days a week, asking for a suggested donation of $10. Now, on October 1 of 2010, state budget cuts, which parallel, of course, national budget cuts that everyone is feeling, resulted in the Genesee County Health Department deciding to dramatically reduce services. So now they reduced their clinic to 2.5 days a week. It's actually in a different location, so it's not totally the same clinic. And it's by appointment only. Services are provided only to men. Women can still make appointments for full pelvic exams through the health department's family planning clinic. Payment is now required on a sliding fee scale based on income as determined by patients' most recent pay stub, which they're asked to bring to their appointment. Payment is required in full, and actually patients can be refused services based on inability to pay, which is really surprising. And they've scaled down their partner services to limit it only to HIV. So Hurley Medical Center, which is where I rotate most of the time, is a 443-bed public city hospital in downtown Flint. Its ED is a level one trauma center. It's recently opened its own, been certified to have its own children's hospital. So it really is sort of the center of care in Flint. And the health department noted, without having done much analysis on this, noted more reporting of gonorrhea and chlamydia by the Hurley Emergency Department in the 4 months after the clinic reduced its services. So actually this is how myself and my med school colleagues got involved, is that the health department sort of noticed this but didn't have the resources to look at the data, so we took that on. So for this talk, we're going to try and quantify any increase in testing or identification of gonorrhea and chlamydia in the emergency department after clinic reduction. To look at demographic differences in the positives with lab-confirmed gonorrhea and chlamydia, and I'll explain in a minute a little bit more what that means, at the Hurley Emergency Department, before and after the clinic reduction, and to examine the differences in treatment patterns before and after clinic reduction. So we looked at a full year before the clinic reduced its services and a full year after, and when I present data for the full year, I will be labeling it pre-reduction year and post-reduction year. The study population was patients ages 13 and older, to parallel the clinic population, with gonorrhea or chlamydia via PCR testing. And we included PCRs done at the urethral, cervical, and urine sites. We excluded cultures. There's a small amount of culturing done for gonorrhea and chlamydia in the emergency department, but our understanding is that for gonorrhea, these are mainly oral and anorectal cultures on men who have sex with men. For chlamydia, the cultures are mainly done on the eye in neonates with suspected conjunctivitis. So we excluded those, really focusing on urogenital infection. And analyses were done for the full 2 years using Hurley Lab Information System data. But we actually wanted to abstract more variables that we couldn't get from the lab information system. And we have gotten through the first quarter of each year, so the first 3 months of each of those study periods at the top of the slide. And we're calling this a systematic sample, labeling slides pre-reduction quarter and post-reduction quarter. So I'm going to present some data that's a full year and some data that's only a quarter comparison, and I have labeled them as such, and I'll kind of remind you where that data comes from as we go along. So this is just sort of a breakdown of the qualities of our testers before and after clinic reduction. There's an increase in absolute number of tests done. There was a statistically significant increase in positivity, 6.4% to 7.3%. Below that, you see the number of patients who made those visits, and you see that there's actually an increase in repeat infections, 9% versus 19% after clinic reduction. Now, we have to take this with a grain of salt. You know, patients who came more than one time with more than one positive test in the study period, you know, also had the opportunity to go to the clinic before reduction and not after reduction. So we may be seeing what we think is sort of a higher reinfection rate, but can't say for sure that that's what it represents. In both years, there was about 70% of the testers had chlamydia only, and about 8% were co-infected with both at the time. And that did not differ according to study period. The populations were about 80% female and about 80% black, and that distribution of race ethnicity did not change, neither did gender, according to study period. And age, you know, if we really look at the mean age, it was statistically significantly higher post-clinic reduction. We're not quite sure if that means anything. It was minimally higher. But you do see that teenagers make up a smaller proportion of the total population after clinic reduction. So this is a time trend line graph that's just showing the absolute number of positive tests per month coming into the ED. And the thick black line, obviously, is when the clinic had to reduce services. And you just see a pretty clear increase in per month visitors, folks with gonorrhea and chlamydia. And the means, simple t-test of the means was significant. The most interesting thing, I think, about this graph is that the peak month, not showing so well in the translation from this slide, but the peak month was actually the month right before the clinic closed in September of 2010, so we were wondering if there wasn't some anticipatory diversion of patients to the ED or away from the clinic at that point. So there was no change in the gender breakdown of testing overall. There was increased tests in both genders, and you can see in this slide that men were a really small proportion of the total testers. It's mostly women. But positivity did change by sex. So total positivity went up significantly, and female positivity went up significantly. Male positivity, proportion positive, actually went down. Because there was an increase in male testers, there was actually an increase in the absolute number of positive men, even though the percent positive went down. So there's this difference in this shown in this slide between sort of the public health significance of this data and the epidemiologic significance. Okay. So this is just females split up by which bug they had, and you can see here that the increase in positivity was due entirely to chlamydia. So this is the first graph that I've shown you that is now pre-reduction quarter versus post-reduction quarter. The previous charts were the full year of data. So we abstracted treatment, appropriate treatment, and we defined appropriate treatment as treatment for whichever bug they had or both, according to 2006 CDC STD treatment guidelines, which is what would have been in effect at this time. And we counted treatment either at the ED when they came or at a follow-up appointment. There were notes written in various charts that patients were contacted if they had a positive test, and a number of them came back to get antibiotics. So we included both in appropriate treatment. So you can see overall in the first two bars that treatment did decrease after clinic reduction. And then among black males, and actually also among white males, there just were only five of them total, so I didn't put it on the slide. Among black males, treatment is essentially 100%. So among men, we have very effective treatment in the ED, or perhaps they're all being treated presumptively. We can talk more about that in a minute. But among women, treatment pretty dramatically decreased. So we also looked, again, just for a quarter at this point, at care access. So we abstracted whether patients reported having a primary care physician, or PCP, and whether they reported having health insurance. And we also combined them into a variable that we called limited access, which was that you either had no PCP or no insurance, or both. You had some sort of limit to your access to care. And actually, we had hypothesized that we might see more folks without insurance or without PCP after clinic reduction, but we didn't see a change. But we did see, however, that those without a PCP or without insurance, so those with some limited access, were more likely to be treated appropriately, significantly. And this didn't change by quarter, but that was a consistent finding. And so treatment for all groups, no matter what access you had, went down by about 25 to 30%. So the far column on the right is showing the percent reduction, and that just did not affected by what kind of care access you had. Good access then being the mutually exclusive category from limited access. Good access meant you had both a primary care physician and insurance. So conclusions. We saw an increase in gonorrhea and chlamydia testing and an increase in positivity for chlamydia among women at Hurley Emergency Department after clinic reduction. And this may represent patients who otherwise would have gone to the clinic were it at full service level. The large percentage of repeat visits that we saw, in particular after clinic reduction, indicates use of the emergency department for repeated non-emergency, non-longitudinal care. The decrease in timely treatment of gonorrhea and chlamydia in the ED after clinic reduction may reflect increased asymptomatic chlamydia among women. So because we saw this increase in positivity that was just in women and just chlamydia, and we know that this is the group that is most likely to be asymptomatic, we sort of hypothesized that that was why treatment was so much worse, in particular in women, after clinic reduction, was that these are folks whose PCR test wasn't getting resulted for 2 to 3 days. And by that time, they're gone, and it can be very hard to follow them up with treatment. And likewise, the higher rates of appropriate treatment among males and among those with care access limitations probably reflects higher levels of symptomatology in these groups. Men are more likely to come to the ED with genitourinary symptoms already, and we hypothesize that those with care access issues probably only present when they really sort of know what's going on. Limitations of the study, it was limited only to the emergency department. So we don't have electronic data from the clinic. We have very limited access to understanding treatment patterns or symptomatology or demographics of those patients. We're working on getting some. We have no information about the negative tests. We only abstracted data on the positives. We may do this in the future when we could get a little bit more manpower to compare to see whether those folks who came in and tested but were negative shared characteristics with the positives. The study was limited to 2 years, so when we talk about repeat testing, we're sort of looking at a window, and these people could have come before or after this time period. And eventually, we do intend to abstract data for the full year, and so we'll be able to see a little bit more about time trends and potentially reveal regression to the mean if it's there. So I have to acknowledge these people, and particularly Jenny LaChance, who's saved my life on many occasions. And then just a sort of a nice way to end this talk, we discovered that in August 1st of this year, the health department reopened their clinic to previous service levels. They didn't have extra money, sort of speaks to the point of this section. They diverted 2 nurses from the family planning clinic, and they're sort of trying to do the best they can with limited resources. So thank you very much.